I'm thinking of a letter that has a line that comes down straight. Boy, you're a pretty good guesser.
Because I know that T has a line down straight and a line up here.
Okay, this next one's going to be a little harder. This has a straight line that comes down. And then it has a line that goes like this.
What do you? A.
Nope, it's not A. That's a good guess, though.
V.
Nope, not B. That's a good guess, too.
F?
Nope.
M?
Nope.
E?
No, not E.
Can you?
What'd you say?
Y?
Nope.
Can you say what you just said again?
It has a line that comes straight down, and then I said it has a line that goes like that at an angle.
D?
Nope. Nope. Remember, it's a line that comes straight down. One's a line that comes straight down, and then it has a line that goes at an angle like that. I didn't give you all the clue. There's also something at the top that goes like this.
Oh?
That's close, but look.
Q?
Nope, it's R.
Q.
I'm not giving very good clues. That's the problem. Now this next letter has two lines that come down and then something that connects it at the bottom.
H.
That's, but it doesn't connect at the bottom. I couldn't quite.
Is it U?
That is U. What did you say, Haley? It starts in your name. You. Okay. Now the last letter has a line that comes straight down and more than one line that goes across.
I.
No, not I. No, not X.
I was just about to say F.
F's close. F's really close.
E.
Yeah, that's it. So the word is true. If we combine all letters together, we have true. So when you hear the word true, what do you think of? Go ahead.
Something is true and it's real.
Yeah, it's real. It's not fake. Anybody else? Have a comment about that? What do you suggest?
You have to be true. If someone would think that someone else did something, but you really did it.
Ah, so if you did something and someone else got blamed for it, you should tell that you did it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Well, let's go to the next word. You know, I forget what the letter is. I think we'll find out. I think it has a straight line that goes down, and then it has like a circle on it.
You.
Nope, not you. What are you going to say, Justin?
Q.
Not Q either, but it's close to Q.
O.
It's close to O and Q.
P.
You got it, Nathan. That was the right one. Now this next letter we had before, I'm going to just tell you it's close to T. Justin? Is I really close to T? There's T and there's I. Are they close? What'd you say? O.
No,
R. No, it's not R.
S.
It's not S.
U.
That's it. It's you. Now this next one's close to S.
T?
No, it's not T.
O.
What?
O.
It's not O. Justin?
No, O.
R. Is that what you said? Yeah, that's right.
I was just about to say C.
C.
That's close to S.
Now this next letter has a line that goes straight down and three lines that go across. That's right, E. Pure is what it would spell. It would be pure. What do you think about when you hear something that's pure? Okay, well, I'm going to give you a little experiment here. We're going to say this is pure water. Okay? Now, pure water doesn't have anything else in it, but when I put this drop in it, it'll have something in it, but so it won't be pure anymore. So pure means to be without things that contaminate it. Like, there's metals like gold and silver that they have different things in it. They aren't completely pure, and what they do is they put them in a furnace. And they heat them till the other elements, I think they rise to the top. I'm not sure on that. But they heat it till the silver, the gold separates from the other minerals. So, see how that's not pure water? It was pure water, but it's not anymore. And the Bible says we're supposed to be pure. One more. Do you want to do one more or you just want to wait? Okay.
One more.
And I forget what it is. Let's see what the first letter is. To now. The next letter is close to N. What?
M.
Nope.
O.
O, right. The next letter is close to W. What? X? No, it's not X. But it's close.
Z?
No, not Z.
Y? B?
B, right.
W.
And the next one we had a couple times.
E.
Yeah. And there's one more letter. And we'll let Haley answer this one if she can. It's close to Z. Do you know what letter's close to Z, Haley? Right before Z. That's right. Y. But it's an L. You know what? I can't spell right. And I get caught with that a lot of times. Y is the last one. So we got a word. It's lovely. Because I want to try something different. What do you think of when you think of something that's lovely? Justin?
If you like something.
Yeah. Yeah, if you like something, that's a good answer. Leah?
If you like something very, very much.
Yeah, I would say that's good. I kind of think of flowers. That's what I think of. What about you, Nathan? Do you think anything special? Okay. Well, that's it then. Thank you for helping me. I don't think it needs quite to be this dark. Which one? Can you see that okay, everybody? Well, let me see what I have here. I don't think I want to go to the next slide. Well, I do want to say good afternoon to the congregation. And I did like Jim's comment in the beginning. That was a closing prayer. I thought I'd get out of this sermon quick, but it didn't work. Three words, does anybody have a clue what we might be speaking about? Robin? Yeah, that's right. Philippians 4:8. And it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. What I'd like to do is you to help me here and give your response. I'll be going through each word. So the first word we'll do is true. I would like you to give me your response of what you think about when you think of what's true. And I have a few things that I've written down, but if you give more response, I'll just go over my things. I don't know your name. Yeah, that's a good answer. Good answer. Anybody else? Hugh?
The faithfulness of God, His faithfulness to His promises, His faithfulness to His covenant, and His faithfulness to us, despite whatever circumstances we find ourselves in.
Can you think of a scripture that goes with that? I mean, you can come up with a...
1 Corinthians 10:13.
That's good. You want to just read that? I'll go there.
There's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it.
Yeah. Anybody else have any comments what they think about? True? I'll give you mine. I'll turn to Psalm 117. Did you mention this psalm last week, or was it Psalm 100 you mentioned last week, you?
100.
Okay. In Psalm 100, verse 5, it says, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." And that's pretty much what Psalm 117 says. "Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise Him, all you people. For His merciful kindness is grace towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise you, the Lord." So God's truth will go on for eternity and eternity. That's what I think about. I have Psalms 146. Also, 5 and 6. "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all therein is, which keepeth truth forever." So God keepeth truth forever. There, okay. John 4:23-24, it shows that we're supposed to, I'm not going to turn there, but we're supposed to worship God in truth. That's a way that we're to worship Him. And my own feeling is that we should use God's Word, and that's truth, to establish how we worship Him. I think the Sabbath is an important thing to be keeping. I'll put it that way. John 14:6 says, let's turn there. Christ says, "I am the way and the truth." So, actually, I don't have to turn there. But Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Christ said He is the truth. And He's the living Word of God. So put them all together. Christ is the true bread, it says in John 6:32. He's the true light, it says in John 1:9. He's the true vine in John 15:1. And I believe that's all I have on the truth. So the next word is translated. I gotta go there. Philippians. I think it's honest in the King James. Yeah, whatsoever things are honest. But other translations have honorable, noble, modest. Does anybody have anything comes to mind when they think of honest? This word's pretty much a synonym for truth. So they're like parallel words. See no hands going up? I have a hard time with this word. It's only used four times. There's the Greek word. Semnos, I believe it's pronounced. Go ahead, Sandy. Yeah, that's a good scripture. That's a good scripture. It's not the same word, but it's definitely a good scripture. Go ahead, you.
Titus 1:2, Paul says, "The hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began."
Yeah, that's a memory scripture. Anybody else? When I think on these things, I think, you know, more along the character of God. And I don't think that's necessarily what this verse is talking about, but that's what I think about. I think this verse is talking about those things also, but also how we're to walk. It's how Christians are to walk. I think I should have actually read the context of it, but for time's sake, I'm not going to. But I have a hard time with honest, and it has true and honest. I can't quite grasp it, so I tried to. I mentioned it's only used four times in the New Testament. It's used in 1 Timothy 3:8 and verse 3:11, and also Titus 2:2. The words translated grave. I'd like to turn to Titus 2:2 just to get the context of it. And the scripture in Timothy is saying the same thing, basically, except for what I have, Titus 2:2. No, that's not right. It should be grave. Oh, there it is. I missed it. That the aged men be sober. I thought it was saying women here. That the aged men be sober, grave. That's the word. Grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity, and patience. So it means to be serious in how you're thinking and your walk of life. And I'm still not comfortable with that when I try to think on, you know, that's a character trait I should have, but are there things that God does that I should be thinking on? So I went to the Septuagint. And that's the Greek translation of the Old Testament. It's only four times in there. Judges 11:35, Proverbs 6:8, Proverbs 8:6, and 15:26. And I went to the Hebrew, Proverbs 8:6. The Hebrew word that this word is used for in the Septuagint gives a little bit more definition. It's Strong's 5057, and it's Nagid, something along that line. It means a commander, or a civil, military, or religious, generally honorable themes, captain, chief, excellent things. That's the thing I thought about, excellent things. Governors, leaders, nobles, prince. And that's how the translation... Let's turn there to Proverbs 8:6. That's pretty much what it means, is excellent things. Hear, for I will speak, and then that's what the King James has of excellent things. So that's that same word. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. So excellent things, when I start thinking of excellent things, my mind starts thinking of God and His glory and of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. Then 15:26, I did the same thing, and it's a little different word. It's nomon, and I can't quite see it there. It means agreeableness, delight, suitableness, splendor, grace, beauty, pleasantness. So let's just turn to Proverbs 15:26 and see what that says. And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence in His children. That can't be the right verse. Let me see something. Sometimes the numbering is a little different. When you go from these translations. But I have 15:26. Yeah, this has an unrighteous... An unrighteous thought is an abomination to the Lord, but the sayings of the pure are held in honor. So the word actually is translated pure, I think, here. So what? Oh, that's what's wrong. The thoughts of the wicked are abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. This Bible of mine has Proverbs 15 on the left-hand side, but you don't get into it till the middle of the page, so I was actually looking at Proverbs 14. So, sorry. This gives the definition that it's kindness, pleasantness, delightfulness, beauty, favor. Just as a... Again, I think more of, you know, God's attributes when I look at that word. Now, the next word we have is just. Robin? I'm not sure that's in Matthew. It may be, but I'm thinking of the... I'm thinking of John 8. It says where you're your father, the devil. Yeah. John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a father. He is a liar and the father of lies. So he's the exact opposite of God. You...
Psalm 12:6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver and trying to furnish over purifying seven times.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm going to use that. Well, I won't use it the next when I get to it, but I was going to use that for pure. But yeah, it's that these words are linked. I mean, they're synonyms, a lot of them, and they link together so many times. Just. Anybody have anything when they think of just? Darlene?
1 John 1:9.
You want me to read it, or are you going to?
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us.
Yeah. That's a good... I don't think I had that one down. And He's just and forgives us of our sins. And, you know, you think of these things, it says, and they're all positive, but we live a life where there's a lot of things that are negative. And I think the biggest message is that we aren't supposed to dwell on them. We can look at all the patriarchs, and they all had negative aspects about them. They did Abraham lied to Abimelech. I think it was Abimelech. I'm not sure that's correct. Jacob did, and Isaac, and they did things that aren't quite right. But we aren't supposed to focus on those things. That's, at least that's what I think this verse is saying. I'll get with you right in a second, Rick. I think the verse is telling us to focus on the positive, on ourselves and on people. Say, yeah, Rick, go ahead. Yeah, justified by faith. Sandy?
Yeah, I was looking up at just in my Bible here, and here's two scriptures that talk about being just, but they all identify with it's coinciding with faith. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith, and also finally resting up to Galatians 3:11 says the same thing, the just shall live by faith. And it seems like faith has a lot to do with going along with being just.
Yes, yeah, it does, the faith. And faith has a lot to do with telling the truth and being pure and all these different aspects that are in this. It takes, you know, it's a combination of things. I'm pretty sure that scripture is in Habakkuk. If I can find Habakkuk, there it is. I think it's 2. Yeah. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by... This says by his faith. I think it goes further than that. I think it's by God's faith in us. What's your name?
No.
I can't hear you.
No.
Delcy, is that right? Delson. Okay. That's a good one. I like that. Hugh?
And going along with that scripture, Romans 7:12 says that the commandment is just.
What's it?
Therefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy.
Just. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else have any? Arlene?
Genesis 6:9 says, Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God.
Yeah. And as I was saying before, the positive things, that's a positive thing about Noah. And then later on, when he got off the ark, he got drunk. So God focuses in on the positive. Somebody else, Brian.
Proper things that are proper. If you, earlier in the book of Philippians, Paul
wrote that I'm confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And then he says, for it is only right for me to feel this way. And that's that same word. It's only right. It's only proper. It's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Anybody else have any comments? More comments? I'm not even going to go to these. Well, yeah, I will. Look at Proverbs 16:11 a second. I think it's talking about God's law, but I'm not sure that's right. Oh, yeah. Leviticus 19:36 is where the law is established, and Proverbs is just repeating it. A just weight and a balance are the Lord's, and all the weights of the bag are His work. So it's showing that we're to have just measurements. We aren't supposed to cheat people. And that's a way we should live. I have Proverbs 4:18. But the But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the day of perfection. So if you tie that in with we're to grow in grace and knowledge, you know, the longer we're in this walk and living a Christian life, we should shine brighter and brighter. It doesn't always happen that way, but sometimes we hit little ridges and things. Not ridges, valleys. But our walk will become better and better. There's the one Arlene mentioned, Genesis 6:9. I have Proverbs. A lot of these things are in the Proverbs, 9:9. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. And teach a just man and he will increase in learning. So that's another thing. As I said before, we're to grow in grace and knowledge. We're not to be just stagnant. We just don't come into Christian walk and just stay there. And a lot of times God doesn't allow us to do that because He'll put obstacles in our way to make us change. I have Ezekiel 18:4-9. I have that as God's definition, so I'd like to read that. Ezekiel 18, starting in verse 4. Behold, all the souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountain, that would be eating to idols, neither has lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither has defiled his neighbor's wife, neither has come near to a menstruous woman, and has not oppressed any, but has restored to the debtors his pledge, has spoiled none by violence, has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with a garment. He that hath not given forth unto usury, in other words, you don't loan money out for interest, and he has taken an increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, and has executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes and kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just. He shall surely live, says the Lord God. So God gives a whole host of things. And it's interesting that when Darlene was reading in Amos and it talked about Israel, I think some of these things were pointed out as negative things that Israel was doing. I had down Christ was just. I'll turn to Zechariah. The one in Matthew is, I won't turn to, but that's where Pilate's wife warns him not to have anything to do with that just man. And then Pilate says something along the lines, I'm not going to persecute this. He doesn't say it that way, but he calls Christ a just person. Zechariah 9:9, it says, Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And that's quoted in the New Testament somewhere. I don't know exactly where it's at. And Acts 3:14, I think it's Peter's talking to the men that are gathered there, and he mentions that Christ was the just one, and they crucified him. Hugh?
Matthew 21:5.
Okay. Matthew 21:5. Tell you, oh, okay, that's where the part in Zechariah is at. Tell you the daughters of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. Does anybody else have anything else under just? Because I think that's all I have. Sue?
Matthew 1:19, Joseph.
It's interesting how the humans are humans. It's not just the God family that's called just. Noah is called just. Joseph is just. And it's a character trait we can emulate. The next one's pure. Does anybody have any comments about pure? Did you have? Okay. Yeah, they're unadulterated. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good comment. Darlene, did you have something?
This verse goes along with what she's saying. James 4:8.
Okay.
Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify
your hearts. That's a good scripture. The word's only used four times. In 1 Timothy 5:22, I'm not going to turn there. I'd like to turn to James 3:17 because I'm not sure that's the right verse, though. Okay. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And I think of God's character, and He has all these attributes that are there. His wisdom is pure, and He's peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated. And I wish I was more like that. Full of mercy and good fruits, and without partiality and without hypocrisy. True. I mean, these words combine together. They dovetail together. Anybody else have any comments?
1 Timothy 1:5 says that the end or the goal of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart.
Yeah.
Good conscience. That faith on faith.
Brian?
Just to point out that it's related to the same word that's translated holy or sanctified or set apart. The word's almost the same.
Yeah. When you say that, I think of First Timothy. I actually think of the clean and unclean meat law, but in First, I said Timothy, I meant First Peter. Peter's quoting that section in chapter 1, verse 15. But as he has called you is holy, so be you also holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be you holy, for I am holy. And that's the clean and unclean section, I think. I'm pretty sure it is. I have Matthew 5:5. I'd like to turn there. Matthew 5:5 says, do I have the right?
5:8.
Yeah, that's what it, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And then let's just go to Psalms 24. It should have been 8. Because I think it says pretty much the same thing. 24 verse 3. For who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul in vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. And in Matthew it says that the pure in heart will see God. So these, you know, it shows that if we obey God, if we continue our walk with Christ, we're going to see God face to face. Go ahead, Sue. Yeah, that's a really good one. I didn't have that one down. And again, it goes along with that walk that we're to have. Oh, Arlene.
Psalm 12:6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. You shall keep them, O Lord, you shall preserve them from this generation forward. That's 57.
Yeah. I know I have that scripture down somewhere, and you used it. That's a tremendous scripture. There I have it. So since you said that, I won't go to Psalm 119, but I'd like to go to Proverbs 30, verse 5. I'm having a hard time finding Proverbs. Like my brain's fudge. Proverbs 30, verse 5. And it goes right along with what you said. Every word of God is pure. And it says, He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. But every word of God's pure. It's a tremendous thing, the book that we have. It gives us a way to live. Bonnie. Yeah.
So I think it might also carry a description that to remain pure and unmixed with those things that are of the world or unpure that would kind of weaken what you have, that should remain strong in God.
Yeah, it's just like the water. I should have put more drops in there. You can't really see it too much here. But it was pure water. But the more I put in, the more discolored it becomes. And that's the way we are when we drink in of the world. Yeah. Very interesting. Just to go along with what you said about not being part of the world, I'd like to go to John, 1 John 2. I think it's verse 6. Actually 15. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And just all fits together. Oh, Arlie.
Going along with that, Titus 1:15 says, to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work.
Yeah. Just anybody else have any comment? Now, this goes along with what Bonnie was saying. When I think of pure, I think of the gold in the temple was overlaid, the things in pure gold. I don't know your name, Alice. Yeah, boy, I forgot that advertisement. But yeah, to have something pure like maple syrup tastes a lot better. We were just talking about that this morning because there was someone bought something that was flavored maple syrup, but real maple syrup has the true taste. Go ahead, you.
Speaking of food and purity, I heard a sermon many years ago, which I stole and adapted later. It was about the acceptable levels of filth that exists in our food. For instance, in a gallon of orange juice, when it's inspected, it's certified to be pure if it has less than five fly eggs or so many grams of mouse droppings. There's a whole list of acceptable levels of impurities in our food that allow them still to be considered pure.
I'm not sure I'm glad you shared that with me or not. But thank you anyway, Hugh. Anybody else have a comment? Okay, the next word is lovely. I'm going to let you comment after I go through mine here. It's only used, it should be one place in the New Testament, and that's here. I tried, there's the word, I'm not even going to read it, that's for your information. I tried to find things in the Old Testament, and it's really hard to find something. There was a place in Esther where it was used in the Septuagint, but they added scriptures. I'll just read it to you quick. Just turn to Esther 5 and just follow. And you aren't going to be able to follow what I'm reading, but just to see what the Septuagint had different from the Hebrew. And it came to pass on the third day, when she had ceased praying, that she put off her mean dress, and I'm not sure what that's supposed to mean, but on her glorious apparel. I guess that's her common dress. And being splendidly arrayed, and having called upon God, the overseer and preserver of all things, she took her two maids, and she leaned upon one as a delicate female, and the other followed, bearing her train. And she was blooming in the perfection of her beauty, and her face was cheerful as it was benevolent. But her heart was straitened for her. And that word that's benevolent is the same word that's used for lovely here. At least I think it is. I can't quite read Greek enough, but I'm pretty sure that's right. And that's, let me see what I have here. Okay. I'll just go back here. It's not the same word. That's why I didn't go, but that is how lovely are your dwellings.
Tends to please us because it's a good thing, not lovely as in we think of lovely as something you look at, and you know, in that sense it could be pleasing, lovely to look at, but this is something that is pleasing. I think that might be, to me that's a better translation, but I only found it one translation.
Go ahead, Robin.
Our love towards God and our love
Yeah.
Because
it goes along with how I'm thinking of two different things here. Psalms 133, where it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even to Aaron's beard, and went down to the skin, skirt of his garments. And it's like the dew of Hermon, and the dew descended upon the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." Yeah, I think when we dwell together in unity, it's very pleasing to God. And Sue. It's definitely be a pleasing thing, yeah. Like Brian said. Go ahead, Rick.
I looked at my topical index in my Bible. It says something about in Numbers 30, verse 2. It says, talking about when you said about having faith in God or whatever, it said it, well, it just sort of goes with it. It says, when a man makes a vow to the Lord, or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he says. But in there, when you're taking a vow, you're taking an oath, and should be showing your love to God, and being in the decision to his eyes.
Yeah. Arlene, you had a comment?
His mouth is most sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, the daughters of Jerusalem. Talking about a man being lovely doesn't strike us as right in this generation.
No, but that's a very. I'm trying to think that book is
poetic.
Very poetic and figurative, and it was a beautiful thing. Back then.
Song of Solomon. And then in chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "Oh, my love, you are as beautiful as Tirzah, lovely as Jerusalem, awesome as an army with banners."
Yeah, and to go along with that, many people feel that Song of Solomon's is, the Jewish people feel that's their relationship between them and God, and I also heard it between the church and Christ, and it's a beautiful analogy. Sue, you had your hand up?
Yeah, in 2 Samuel 1:23, this also refers to a man, and I'm not quite sure exactly what this means. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions.
Yeah. So, it's... is it Diane?
Donna.
Why do I keep wanting to make...
My mom just mentioned about, in Isaiah, everything would be the same thing as pleasing. How beautiful on the mountain.
That's a wonderful scripture. I think it may be quoted in the New Testament somewhere too. Yeah. Anybody else have any other comments? Thank you very much, because I didn't have much for that. You helped a lot. Good report. Again, I'm going to give my comments here first. I'm pretty sure it's only used one time. So Brian, hopefully this has been bothering you too. One time in the New Testament, and that's all I have. But when I think, personally, when I think of a good report, you think of someone being healed or something, someone's answer to prayer. If you hear from that seems to be a good report to me. Anybody else have any comments? Robin? Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Darlene?
When they went to spy out the land and Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report and everyone else was negative, but there was this positive.
Yeah, that's a good comment and shows the difference how you look at things. Anybody else? Rick? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sandy?
I also think of it as the person
has
good reputation.
Yeah, I think that's included within the verse. That it's character traits for all of us, plus of God. Sue? Yeah. And that's what we should have. We should have a good report. I forget your name again. Please forgive me very much. Yeah. Good news. Yeah. Yeah. Glad tidings. Yeah, definitely. That's a good one. Man, you could preach on that all day long. Anybody else have a comment? Okay. And the next one's virtue. I'm going to give my comments here. It's from that word. It means excellent. It can mean praise, too. And as a matter of fact, I think it's only used four times. You see here what I got. Okay. Let's just go to 1 Peter. It can be translated praise, and that's where it is in 1 Peter 2:9. 2:9, 1 Peter 2:9. I like this, but because it's talking about us. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises. That's the same word that's translated virtue here, of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And then it goes on to explain more. So it can have the connotation of being praises to God. Anybody have any comments? Go ahead. The virtuous woman. Yeah. Yeah. That is. Someday I may do a sermon on that, so I'm not going to touch that right now. But that, yeah, the whole thing. And that's how people feel that is talking about the church, or Israel feels that's talking about their relationship with God. So, you know, that's a wonderful section of Scripture. Wonderful. Anybody else? Okay. Then praise. These words are like synonyms. When I think of praise, I think of Psalm 148. Actually, I think of the Psalms 145 through 150. But I chose 148, and I may read it, but I'm not going to do it right now, because that talks about everything praising God. And that's when I think of that, let me see what else I have here. Okay. Anybody have anything on praise? Go ahead. Okay, what did he say? I couldn't quite hear. I heard songs and I didn't hear the beginning. Oh, you can praise Him. Yeah. Anybody else? Brian?
I just happened to see it on a computer here. It says applause. Like something worthy, you know, worth clapping for. The word must be used that way as well.
There's a psalm where it talks about the trees clapping, and they clap when at the there's a I think it's in I think it's in Chronicles. I'm not sure where it's at. It might be in Kings. But they, the coronation of the king, they're clapping. And, you know, when I think of the Messiah coming and the trees are clapping, it's for the coronation of the king, is what I think of. Anybody else have any comments? I will go to Psalms 148. Because I think that that'd be pretty neat to put applaud there. Catherine? I had that in my notes. He is your praise, but somehow trying to get everything done. I didn't have a whole lot of time. I was sick this week. I missed that. But that, yeah, He is your praise. God is your praise. You know, that's a terrific verse. Psalm 148. Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord, from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. And that one song we sang, about charity, it has a misprint in there, whoever needs to know. Instead of saying angels, it had and but. Yeah. And Darlene said, that doesn't make sense. it doesn't. Praise Him, all you angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. So it talks about, you know, this is one for Justin. Praise Him, the sun and the moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Justin loves that solar system, and they praise God. They praise Him because they do His will. He commanded them to be set in motion, and they every day they do it continually and continually. Praise Him in the ye heavens of heavens, and you waters that is above the heavens. Let them praise in the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, you dragons and you deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy winds, fulfilling His words. Mountain and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. So it's talking about everything praising God. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heavens. He has exalted the horn of His people and the praise of all His saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto Him. Praise you, the Lord. It's just such a wonderful... I get all excited when I start reading these Psalms personally. Gets me fired up. Rick? Yeah, and that's another thing they did when they coronated the king. They had music, and it was a festival, festive time. Donna. Isaiah 55:12. Yeah, I'm going to just repeat that. Isaiah 55:12. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of thorns shall come up fir trees, instead of briars shall come up the myrtle trees. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So it's going to be something that's everlasting. Anybody else have any comments? I forget your name. Alice. No, we're all little children. Yeah. Yeah. Any, Sandy?
Here's one here with your works. You can praise him. Psalm 145:10. All thy work shall be praised to thee, O Lord, and my faith shall bless thee.
Yeah. I get excited when I read that one too. Yeah. That's a wonderful, that's a wonderful song. Anybody else? I have, next thing I have down is any thoughts that you would like to express now about everything we've talked about. What I'm going to do, I think I have this on the next slide, so I'm going to play a song that was composed by a friend of mine. It's Think on These Things. Her name is Barry Armitage. Her husband sang the song. He's now deceased. I think he has a beautiful bass voice. Brian, do you happen to know when he died? Do you remember? I think it was about a year ago, but I don't remember.
No, it hasn't been a year. Shelby said in the spring. It was sometime in the last year.
Okay, sometime this spring. Okay. So about 6 months maybe. Or nine or something like that. But I'll end in playing with... Well, I won't end. I'll make a few comments and try to tie things together. Jesus, any Brian, go. Not a lot.
I thought it's interesting. I use the New American Standard usually, and it says dwell on these things. And the word that's translated think or dwell or whatever is from the root of logos.
Okay.
And it means to think logically and in a detailed way. Ponder, not just to think, but to actually to do an active thinking, like you're figuring out a math problem or something like that. Or yeah. To get our word logic.
And that's, and it takes effort to do that. And I think to think on those things takes more effort than what I expend. I should spend more effort on thinking on these things personally. Anybody else? Darling? Yeah.
So it's something you should be thinking about with everything you do and everything that happens in your life.
Yeah. That's, good comments. Anybody else have anything? Let's see where we're at. I mentioned I like to play a song next, and it's called Think on These Things, as I mentioned. I'll be putting the verses up. It's four verses, right? Should be playing. It's not playing. Might have went too fast. Let's try it again. I don't have my mouse. Ah! I won't be able to do that. Do you have your CD player?
Pull it down to the very bottom corner, and then you can bring your words up and click on it, and your words will stay up. But if one layer goes to top, the other layer, that's why it's in there.
Where should I pull it? Down here?
Yeah, bottom right corner. Turn your words off. Is it on the same slide?
No.
Oh, you got it on a different slide.
How about can I cut that? Yeah, but I have it on four slides.
Oh. Then you have to set the action for it to play.
I'll tell you what we'll do.
Through four slides. Tell it to play on click until it finishes all four of those slides.
I'm going to just delete that slide.
Okay.
Now.
Far enough in a CD player.
Restores all things, O brethren, faith.
Boy, what a summary of what we talked about. Where it has so dwell on God. Brian, you have mentioned that to think on these things means to dwell. So, and just, you know, focusing in on living that life and thinking about what God's doing and how He's changing us, it's a marvelous thing. I had my summaries of everything, and I have down God and Christ are true, they're just, they're pure. Catherine quoted a verse where it said God is praise, and etc. Does anybody want to add anything at all? Okay. And I had down, we have a hard job to be like them. You know, it's not easy, but we can do it with God's help. And I'd like to just close with reading Philippians 2. I don't know that I'll read that whole section. But it's talking about the mind of Christ. And that's, when we think on those things, that's what we're doing. Philippians 2, in verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You know, having that pure love, the truth, and it's how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. What a wonderful things the Scriptures have for us. Be of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. That's a hard thing to do. We tend as human beings to always want to vaunt ourselves. Christ never did that. He did not vaunt himself. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that's what I'd like to end with. Let this mind be in you. Think on these things that are true and just and lovely and good report. And you know, and we'll continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior.